He likes to begin with the commonplace particular and lead, step by step, to the most profound conclusions. Take, for instance, his notion of wisdom. It is possible, he says, to achieve wisdom in some practical sphere, such as the making of money. Here the wisdom is the means employed for a particular purpose, getting rich. But all particular purposes are subsumed in the overall purpose of the world. This purpose is the ultimate truth, which is good. The highest form of wisdom thus leads us toward an understanding of this overall purpose, God's will. Those who do not accept that the ultimate purpose of the world is good may feel there is a gap in this line of reasoning. But there is no denying the leading role of reason in such argument, which Aquinas derived from Aristotle. According to Aquinas, such informed reasoning will always lead us toward God. But it can only take us so far. We can use reason to prove such things as the existence of God and the immortality of the soul, but reason is incapable of proving the existence of such things as the Last Judgment and the Holy Ghost. The existence of these can only be understood by revelation, which comes from faith. Aquinas is at great pains to differentiate between the realm of reason and that of faith. Truths that can be demonstrated by reason never contradict the truths of faith. Likewise, the truths of faith, which are discovered by revelation, are always in accord with the truths discovered by reason. Fortunately, most of Summa Contra Gentiles is devoted to the latter, and only when these reasonable arguments reach their conclusion does Aquinas point out how they accord with the truths of faith. Aquinas's classification of reason subtly clears the way for independent scientific investigation, using the methods of Aristotle. At the same time, it stresses how the conclusions drawn from such investigations are bound to agree with the tenets of faith. It gives the appearance of an equal partnership between reason and faith, but this equality is an illusion. The Church had long since made a meal of science, and in doing so it had swallowed Aristotle whole, or at least those bones of his philosophy that had survived the Dark Ages in Western Europe. Aristotle's science was now a part of the faith, and the world was made up of earth, air, fire, and water. The earth was the center of the universe, a heavy object dropped to the ground faster than a light object. Aristotle had written that such things were true, so they were true, even when anyone dropping a book and a pen at the same time could immediately see otherwise. The main difficulty for Aquinas's argument arose when Aristotle's reason was applied to the very science he had produced. Here, reason and faith did come into conflict. But for the time being, this difficulty was brushed under the carpet, where it would remain for 3 centuries, until the advent of Copernicus and Galileo.